Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, broadcasting from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Wednesday evening, July 18, 2011. It is now 7:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. With any comments or questions, don't worry, you will not be interrupting broadcast. This broadcast is for you. Of course, you can send us your emails anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. That's S-U-T-T-O-N-associates.net, and sign up. In his monthly newsletters and podcast, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. He will be our guest this evening, folks, so you get a first-hand crack at what we're talking about and what he talks about and how he thinks and what he can do for you. For your daily commentary on current issues, I suggest that you read the briefs by Paul Jacobs, Common Sense. Just go to thisiscommonsense.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. I do believe our guest is on the air now. Let's see if he's there. Andy, is that you?
How you doing, Joe?
Andy, I'm not sure how I'm doing. Physically, I'm a wreck. You know, as you get older, Mother Nature has a way of telling you, you know, you can no longer do the things you did when you were young. I have about every joint in my body being worked on in one way, shape, or form, and I've never had these problems before. The past 2 years, it's been heck. I mean, I'm feeling good, but I'm falling apart. I'm just not young anymore, and I hate that feeling. How are you doing, by the way?
I don't know. I think some of my joints hurt, too, so you're not alone.
Yeah. Andy, I know I asked you to come in tonight and to discuss economic, especially the printing of money, but do you mind if I just rant for a second about this issue?
Go right ahead.
All right. I appreciate that. You know, I don't understand anything anymore. I've read so many economic bulletins and white papers. I've been schooled in it. You know, I have a general appreciation. I'm not an economist like you, but I have a general idea. It seems that absolutely nothing today makes economic, financial, or even common sense. It's driving me nuts. I mean, we say things that we can't substantiate. We talk in platitudes that don't address the issue, and it seems like everything is fine. Things drive me nuts. For example, whenever they talk about, you know, the private jobs, you know, all the creative, you know, well, I'll bet if we go back and look, we'll find those private jobs are companies that are doing business for the company, like building internment camps, you know, but they're private jobs because they're private organizations. And I don't think the economy is doing any better. Even some of the well-respected white papers that I read from the American Institute of Economic Research, they say, well, it looks like it's recovering slowly but surely, but there'll be bumps on the road. I don't buy that. I don't know how we can recover when I think it was Dr. Kutlikoff, when he did an analysis of what our debt is, looking at the unfunded liabilities and the tax revenues that were going to come in, deducting that from the unfunded liabilities, he came up with a nice round figure of a debt of $211 trillion. Now, quite frankly, if you wanted to sell planet Earth, you couldn't get $211 trillion. But yet, everything seems to be better. Thank you for letting me rant. How are you today?
Well, I can tell you why a lot of these people are telling you that it's going to get better, and this is going to go down. When they write the history books, I'm convinced wholeheartedly, 100%, that the 2009 to maybe 2015 window is going to be the time we finally see the end and the dying, the killing off, the euthanasia of the great Keynesian experiment.
Yes.
It is failing masterfully and galactically, in fact. Europe's a prime example. The idea behind the Keynesian school of thought, and by the way, there was actually no sound economic principles behind that. It was just that the government of England was looking for an excuse, if you will, to go into deficit spending and borrow money and buy votes and this type of thing. And you know, basically, this fellow named Keynes came out with this idea called wealth and prosperity, and basically the tenets of that school of thought, and I apologize to the people who already know what they are, but there's probably some that don't, are when the economy fails or the economy slows down, government must spend. And if government doesn't have money, if there's no savings, as is in the case with us, then you borrow the money, or you print it, or you come by it through some other means. But government must drive the economy, and that is totally false. And there's been people arguing about this longer than I've been alive, and probably close to as long as you've been alive, that this is not the way to go. And you know what? You can get away with some of these things in the short term. You know, a guy who robs houses, he might rob a house, get away with it. He might do a second, a third, a fourth. Eventually, he's going down. And exactly what's happening right now. The cat burglar has been caught with his hand in the cookie jar over in Europe on a grand basis. He's been caught, and the scam is being exposed for the world to see. And I myself, frankly, as an American, as a patriot, as somebody who believes in economic freedom and capitalism, I couldn't be more happy with the way things are going. And you know what? And people are going to say, what's the matter with you? Those people are really suffering. Well, guess what? It's part of the process, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to suffer sooner or later, and if you get it over with now, it's going to be a lot less than if you postpone and do it 10 years from now.
Yeah. And, you know, but people don't realize this. When they applaud the government for bailing out the banks squandered the money. The principals of the banks made billions. Then the government prints trillions, gives them trillions to bail them out. They make another mega billion for themselves. And then we pay the tab twice. We are applauding the government. We should hang those guys. I mean, those guys should be run out of town. Every one of them, they're indebting me to a point where I will never see a light again. And there's a few people making billions on fiat currency that's going to go bust. I'm going to have nothing left.
Well, exactly. And this is the whole idea. But you have to remember, they should be hung three times. The first time because Congress ceded our sovereignty economically and financially in 1913 and turned over the governance of our money supply to a private bank. So it's not even that the government prints the money. The government goes hat in hand to the Federal Reserve, who's the private bank,
right,
borrows the money from them, and then puts you on the hook for it, and me, and my kid, and your kids, and all that kind of thing. So, you know, and then in the banks, they take that money, obviously. They go back to doing pretty much the exact same thing that they were doing before and paying out the bonuses. And, you know, you saw all the articles, and were very inflamed and outraged and all that kind of stuff over the behavior of the banks. And you know what? And they just laughed. They don't even care. They couldn't care less what we the people think anymore. And the fact that, you know, they've basically got Congress bought and paid for. They have the presidency bought and paid for. And yes, that's you guys too on the right. They got your guy bought too. Don't just blame the other fellow.
But
that
burns
me when I hear that.
And you know, in any logical industry, if that industry is doing poorly, and I pick anything, the furniture industry, whatever it is, whatever industry it is, auto parts, if it is doing poorly, you find a contraction in that industry. That means people close up. They go bankrupt. They close up, and you have fewer suppliers, fewer distributors, fewer retailers, fewer people servicing because it's retracting. Do you realize, I mean, I'm sure you do realize, but this drives me nuts. The more the banking industry retracts, the more money they lose, the more banks open up. In this town, there's a bank opening up every day, and there's always 50 feet down the road, there's another. At one intersection, right less than a mile away from my house, and this intersection is not a major intersection. It's just a major, it's an intersection, but it's not, you know, a major commercial intersection at all. There are four banks on that corner. How could you have four banks on one corner? Four banks on one corner. You couldn't have four service stations. You could, no matter what the traffic count was, you couldn't have four convenience stores, four department stores, four, you name it. You couldn't have two of anything, but yet there are four banks. No one is ever in these banks. The buildings are gorgeous. They're just big stone. And that's all of the banks. They don't do anything else but banking there, you know. Never see any cars in them. And they never close their doors.
You know what? In fact, Joe, I think what you ought to do is you ought to pack up your wife and, you know, get the kids and have them bring some friends and get the picnic basket out. Go down to your local bank and spread out the blanket right on their grass and sit yourself down there and have a nice picnic lunch because you paid for that.
Oh, yeah.
You paid for that. I paid for it. We all paid for it. You know, this money was not come by honestly by these people. You know, the very system of fractional reserve banking is fraudulent to begin with. You know, you put $100 in the bank, they make $1,000 worth of loans.
Right.
You know, if their average average interest rate is, oh, I don't know, if you're talking credit cards, you're talking, for what, 14%? So you put in $1,000, and in a year, they can make $1,400 in interest?
Right.
They're making more in interest than you even deposited.
May I disagree with you? I've got to disagree with you. My wife just signed up for one of these things where, you know, if you sign up for a Visa card, you get, you know, $20 off. And my wife did it. I don't know why she did it. We didn't need a credit. Well, she did it because she wanted to get the discount. We received the cards in the mail. The minimum interest rate was 23.99. Now, why not 24 is beyond me. 23.99% interest if you're late one day. Not Judah, but they get the money for less than 0.25%, and on the other, they're charging 24%. You know, they always come up with this 14%. Every credit card, and I have, believe me, my credit score is top, like 850. You can't get any higher than mine. And yet, I get a credit card, and the interest rate, I never revolve. Never once in my life have I revolved. But the interest rates, I mean, minimally are 14. Some of them are 20-something, some of them are 30%, 29%.
Well, that gives us good reason to doubt the statistics that are being released then by the ABA then, because that's their number, the 14%.
Every time they say that, I say it's garbage.
Say it's 20%. So you put $1,000 at the bank, they make $10,000 worth of loans and collect $2,000 in interest, which is double what your deposit is.
Right.
That's a scam. You know where I come from.
I want to do that. Please let me do that.
Yeah, where do I sign?
Gosh.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the whole principle of fiat money is so ridiculous because it comes into the system as debt. So let's take this down to a very basic and elementary level. When that first fiat dollar came into the system, the very first one, it came in with 6% interest attached to it, payable to the Federal Reserve,
right,
a private bank.
Right.
Admitted to by themselves on their very own website. That's not a conspiracy theory.
Right, right.
So it comes in with interest attached, but there's only $1 in the system, so how are we supposed to pay the interest? Well, we have to borrow a second dollar so we can pay the interest on the first. Do you see
right.
how this goes?
Oh, yeah, this thing. When do the economists predict that this whole thing will go, you know, and just totally out of hand, I mean, and just disrupt, you know, the volcano erupts, and you know, everyone's looking at the door. Everyone's looking, and no one's heading for the door. First person who heads for the door, everyone runs. It's all over.
Exactly.
Do you have any idea of what time frame we're looking at? What's going to happen? I can't believe we're still existing this way, but we are.
Well,
you know,
you're not going to believe this, but I'm actually one of the people that probably fall into the camp that would say, as far as a prediction, and I hate doing this because as soon as you do it, somebody's going to hold me to it.
Oh, I know that.
This is going to go on longer than it ought to.
Yeah.
It already has gone on longer than it should have. But I would not be surprised to see this go on another 5, 7, maybe 10 years even.
Oh, my God. What is a head of lettuce going to cost $18 at that point?
I'm going to tell you something that I found out last week, and it kind of confirmed something that I had believed to be true, but I couldn't verify it. Well, now I was able to verify it. I had a chance to meet some natural gas people, as probably most of your listeners know. I live up here in the Marcellus Patch,
right
here in west central Pennsylvania. Well, anyway, so we were talking, and we went out, and we saw a couple wells, and it was really cool. How they drill and all that kind of stuff. And I was interested in it from a number of perspectives. But anyway, I got to talking with one of the higher ups, because they were the ones that were leading the tour. And I said to him, I said, hey, you know, I'm hearing from your guys, I'm hearing in the, you know, in the media, that break even on a lot of these wells is around $8 a thousand for natural gas. And natural gas is like $2.75.
Right, yeah.
Why is this well running? And the guy kind of looked at me and he said, well, he said, let's just say that maybe not so all of these wells, but some of the ones that are closer to the break even are being made profitable. And I looked at him and I said, he said, I really can't say any more than that. And I said, I don't think you really have to. I get it. The government is giving them a subsidy to create a glut and maintain a glut of natural gas for the purposes of, drum roll please, hiding inflation.
Oh, good.
This is one of the tools that is being used to hide inflation. You pay the gas suppliers a subsidy, you take an unprofitable well, you make it break even, you make it profitable, you incentivize them to produce. They produce, it creates a glut, which drives the price down like we've seen, and all of a sudden, well, gee, people's natural gas bills are going down. And natural gas is used in fertilizer, so that's going to roll into food prices eventually, although the drought seems to be doing a pretty nice job of counterbalancing that,
right,
at least for now. But you see what I'm saying? Now, that kind of ripples through a little bit, and it lowers prices, and it keeps people thinking that, hey, things are okay.
That's right.
Yeah, things are going up a little bit, but not too much.
Right.
The problem is, where are they getting the money to do this? They're borrowing from the Federal Reserve.
Oh,
or China,
yep,
or Japan, who's also broke. It's a riot how this works. So, again, it's just take the soccer shoe, kick the can down the road another couple hundred feet, and let the next guy deal with it, let the next Congress deal with it, or whatever the case may be, and everything's just going to be fine, because this is Keynesianism, and Keynesianism has run the world, and we've had prosperity. And the third world is now the first world, and the first world is now the, oh, I don't know, somewhere higher than the first world. It's a sham, it's a fallacy, and I believe, obviously, in Europe, they're seeing it exposed for the lie that it's always been, and it will be exposed for the lie that it's always been here, too. My point, my hope, is that it happens sooner than later. Because the sooner it happens, the less painful it's going to be for people. And I know people might have a hard time wrapping their heads around that one, but trust me, it's true.
Well, you know, I lost medium five figures in natural gas in the past year because of those subsidies. Medium five figures, a solid medium five figures. I hate to tell you that. I mean, I got hit so hard, it was amazing, you know. And I'm just holding on and hoping I can't sell it out because it's, you know, at $2.75 or whatever it is now, I mean, I get nothing for it. They give me a dime on a dollar, and so I have no choice but to wait it out, and it's awful.
That is
hard,
one of the other alternative points to this whole thing too, because it takes people that were investing fundamentally like yourself, and there's a lot of others like you that invested in that thinking, hey, you know, we've got this peak oil situation, or at the very least, peak cheap oil.
Yeah.
There's Alaska and all that, but if anybody thinks they're going to let us have that for less than $150 or $200 a barrel, they're nuts. So peak cheap oil, at any rate, there's going to be a rollover in the natural gas. People are going to start converting, cars or, there's, I think UPS was it, or FedEx, one of those two, converted part of their fleet over to vehicles that use natural gas. You're going to see kind of a rollover, and people thought, hey, this is going to be a good place to be.
Right.
Let's invest in that. Well, see what happens now. You get some economic stupidity like this subsidy. to try to give political cover for the establishment, and all of a sudden guys like you get discouraged, and you go out, and maybe not you, but a lot of people are going to go out and they're going to sell their shares for 15 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And there's going to be lots of people who are going to be more than happy to buy them from you. They will always sell you shares at the top, and they will always be very, very happy, more than happy, elated, in fact, to buy them back from you at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's the way this system works. You've got to think opposite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, see, I was buying low. I mean, natural gas had gone down precipitously. I mean, I forgot what it was, and when it went down, too, I said, oh, my God. I bought it when I said, I have to buy. This is ridiculously low, and it went down half from that. And a quarter from that, and I just couldn't believe that it would go down that far. It was a strategic mistake on my part, but people really lost their shirt. And there are some people, as you say, making good money. Let's stop for a second just for station identification, Andy. But and then I want to ask you, you know, what is the average Joe Blow who's out there getting bombarded by mainstream media, and you know what's happening? You know, how should they interpret all this? Just hold on for one second, please.
Sure.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Well, call-in number is 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you this evening. You have any questions about your finances, about the economy, Ben Bernanke and when he's going to get his next haircut. You name it, you ask it. The lines are open, please. You will not be interrupting us. I know we like to, Andy and I like to talk, but we would really much prefer to hear from you and answer your questions. Again, that's 888-773-4496. Andy's an economist and chief investment strategist for Sutton Associates, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We are really pleased that he does come to us every month, on the third Wednesday of every month, and discuss what's going on economically. If you listen to Gerald Celente, which I do, and I do follow him, things aren't very rosy. I mean, he has a very, very jaded view, of really how we are being treated, and what is the mechanism behind the cloth, and how we are all being cheated and lied to, and it's not going to be come out very well. He makes it very public that he is not an investment advisor, but he has 100% of his money in gold because it's the only place to be. Because when the charade breaks up, he said, people are going to be impoverished and you don't want to be there. What should people do? Who should they believe? I mean, what do they do? You know,
I can tell you this much. The U.S. dollar in its current format has been a currency for 40 years, 41 years, 1971. As a fiat currency. Gold has been money for 6,000 years. So, no, I think Gerald's absolutely right. You know, 100%, yeah, that's probably taking it a bit far. Obviously, you know, vendors still accept cash, you know, and those types of things. But in principle, you want a currency that's backed by something so that you can't have this kind of nonsense going on. If we had a gold standard in this country, we wouldn't have been able to run current account deficits for as long as we did. We'd have gone broke, like a normal family or a normal corporation. Just, you know, everybody thinks that it's because it's the U.S. government that the rules don't apply. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Look at the Europeans. You know, the Europeans thought, oh, we'll retire at 50. We'll take 20-week vacations a year. We'll do this. We'll have socialized medicine. We'll have government health care, all this good stuff. We're going to do it all. We're going to be prosperous. And they're all broke.
Yeah.
They're rioting in the streets. And I'm sick and tired of these people in the media that are saying, oh, well, there's another bailout plan in place, and Europe's going to be just fine. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. I mean, it's turn it off. That's my best advice to people.
Right.
CNBC, turn it off. It isn't worth listening. You know what? I'm an investment advisor. I advise people in stocks, bonds, assets of all types, real estate, gold, silver, you name it. You know how many hours a day I spend listening to CNBC?
Zero.
None. Zero.
Good for you.
I occasionally will read an article from their website if it pertains to something that, you know, I'm looking at for an article or a newsletter or something like that. I do not watch the financial press on TV. I do not listen to it on the radio. You know why? Because it's baloney, and you fill your mind with that stuff, and sooner or later you're going to start believing it.
Right, right, absolutely.
And that is the most dangerous thing you can do. That is when you are going to get burned, is when you start believing that and saying, hey, everything's great. Let me buy some bank bonds.
Right, right.
Let me buy some preferred stocks. Hey, let me buy some California municipal bonds. Or, here, my home state, Pennsylvania, a few days ago, downgraded. General obligation debt rating, downgraded. Let's buy some municipal bonds. There were people on CNBC and MarketWatch, and I have clients, and they send me these articles, and I look at them because I want to know what's going on, too. But, you know, it kind of goes in one ear. Some of it sticks. The rest of it goes out. I have a pretty good filter. And there are people, I got hate mails for years from people for saying, don't get into muni bonds. And now you've got municipal bankruptcies. They're starting to pop up all over the place.
Right. Right. You know,
the mainstream media would have had you putting all your 401k money into municipal bond ETFs, trusts, what have you. You cannot take advice from those people. They are paid to produce programming, and they don't call it programming for nothing. They're
right.
paid to produce that by advertisers. And who are the advertisers for CNBC and Bloomberg Television and these financial networks? When they go to commercial break, it's always a mutual fund company, this ETF, that brokerage. They're going to say what their advertisers want them to say.
Absolutely.
If they don't, they're not going to have advertisers.
Absolutely.
It's that simple.
Yeah. You know, I still get a solicitation and calls. They say, Mr. Cristiano, you have an unbalanced portfolio. At your age, you should have so much in cash, so much in bonds. And I said, I call them clowns. Are you clowns? I said, what, are you kidding me? I said, don't you know what's going on? And they're spouting whatever the company, parameters are, and they won't apply to me. I said, they go, but Mr. Cristiano, you have everything in commodities, you have everything in this and that. I said, you're right. And if I can cash it in and talk the commodities in my backyard, I'd have them piled up, you know? I don't say. By the way, we have a call from our friend. I think it's our friend. Hold on a second. Caller on the air.
Hey, Joe, Andy, Jim here. How are you guys tonight?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Hi, Jim.
Good. Enjoying the first half hour. You guys are always rock and roll and entertain and enlighten me. I know there's other callers out there that tune into you, and they're just too a lot of them are just too damn shy to want to be on the air. So
that's
anyways, and Joe knows that frustration as well. There's people that listen but are just so fearful of picking up the phone and being broadcast. Anyways, I'm so glad you're on this topic of how worthless mainstream corporate media is, and you know the only reason I watch it is to. Sometimes when I'm bored, I channel flip and will catch a few minutes of this show or that show, just to remind me of how terrible it is. I think it's good every few weeks just to watch a few minutes and you get a few laughs and it'll remind you of how slanted and distorted it is. And they either, like you said, have an agenda and lie to you, or they distract you with important news about Charlie Sheen and what's going on in Hollywood and
right.
that kind of stuff.
Right.
So
like anybody cares
anyway.
About that.
Exactly. And I've always loved sports all my life, but I've recognized that they're using sports to distract us as well. The fanatic, the people that are obsessed with following the Oklahoma Sooners or the New York Yankees or whatever, and these guys that act real tough and macho and follow their sports teams, and they're just obsessed with it. And you know, they need to man up and recognize what's happening to our country and take a stand and speak out. But, hey, I won't get on my rant like Joe asked, like Joe did the first minute. Quick question then. Since all the mainstream, almost, you know, 98% of the mainstream stuff is garbage, can you share with us where you turn to in either print, TV, radio, internet, to get the most meaningful, honest, accurate information? And I'll take your answer off the air.
As far as statistics go, and I thank you for calling in, Jim. It's always a pleasure. As far as statistics go, it's difficult because we're also very reliant on what the government releases. I mean, it's impossible for me to go around and compile my own unemployment survey, for instance, or something along those lines. As far as interpretation goes, I do most of my own for the most part, but when I do read articles, I always try to pick up on people that don't follow the Keynesian idea, because I know it's broken, I know it's wrong, it's fraudulent, so I stay away from them, and that's pretty much most of the mainstream. So you want to throw some names out there. Gerald Celente, he knows what's going on, and he's not even an economist. You don't have to be. It's common sense. You know, listen to what somebody's saying and insanity check that and say, hey, ask yourself a simple question. If I did that in my household, would that work for me or not economically? And if it doesn't work for you, or if you say, that would probably be a disaster for me, then that person is pretty much discredited as far as, you know, their viewpoints. And you can kind of give it a little sanity check just by doing that, because one of the big assumptions of the Keynesian model is that government can get away with what individuals and corporations can't.
Yep. And you know what's interesting is that people, you were talking about having a little bit of cold cash, but, you know, keeping, have most of your investments in something of value. But you know, today, in today's currency, only 7% of our currency is actually in paper currency. The rest is all digital. So we're going to be soon, they'll probably do away with currency altogether, you know, nickels, dimes, quarters, everything. Everything will be digital, and people say, well, you know, then there's no more paper, so we can, you know. Yeah, well, that digital money is even worse than paper money, because all you have to do is turn a computer or, you know, turn something off, and you have nothing left, nothing. I mean, some person can literally push one button, and bingo, the whole system goes down, and you have zero.
Just that is one of the reasons why I am so frightened to death. And this is going to sound like it has nothing to do with it, but if you give me about 2 minutes, I think I can connect the dots for people.
Please do.
Why I am so scared and frightened to death, not really so much for myself, but for my child and her generation, is this healthcare situation. And people are, you know, the feathers are being ruffled. I can hear it, you know, coming through the vibes here. I'm ruffling people's feathers, but just listen to me for a second. The IRS is responsible for enforcing this tax, penalty, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. It's them taking money from you for the fact that you didn't provide such and such level of whatever, okay? So you're going to be paying money. It's a transfer payment. The IRS has to enforce this. They're going to have to hire a ton of people to do this. And I'm afraid what's going to happen is this is going to be one of the justifications that's going to be used to get rid of paper currency, because think about it. Well, if we have everything computerized and the government can immediately access all of your assets through a computer system, we can figure out if you've purchased the proper amount of health care, and if not, we can just automatically and conveniently remove the fine, surcharge, fee, penalty, tax, whatever the mainstream media wants to call it. We can just conveniently remove that from your account. Isn't that nice? Then you can just keep watching the race, the ball game, the whatever. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm getting excited.
Right. No, absolutely. It, the whole thing. I suggest to everybody, divorce yourself from the system. And they go, what do you mean by that? I said, if you're broke, buy toilet paper. You know, just get rid of your money and buy something of value, you know, and keep it. It'll be worth a fortune someday, because people are not going to have money to buy it. And it sounds almost crazy. I tell people, listen, if you have a dollar, if you have $2 in your pocket, get rid of the $2 and get a roll of nickels. Nickels has copper and nickel in it. It's worth twice as much as what you pay for it. And I said, just hold on to it. If anything should happen, no one's going to you can't devalue a nickel just like you can't devalue a silver or gold coin. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's tangible.
There's a finite supply of it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why people that are so anti-Keynesian are so big into commodities, because you can't print oil, you can't print natural gas, even though the government likes to think they can. You can't print food. You know, you can't print precious metals or any of that stuff. There's a finite supply. It can only be pulled out of the ground so quickly, and that requires capital. Expenditures of scarce resources, you know, and all of these types of basic economic principles, that you want something that's bolted down. You know, buying bonds, I mean, yeah, you know what? For now, bonds are okay. There's going to come a day when the bonds aren't going to be okay.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, there's going to come a day where 90% of stocks aren't going to be okay.
That's right.
And even the other 10% is going to get walloped.
Right. You know, I spoke.
There's going to be a lot of these companies that are invested. You know, they're active, I should say, in this discretionary sector. I'm talking like companies like Harley Davidson, Polaris, and I'm not picking on anybody.
No, I know.
I'm just pointing out, when people are strapped and broke, and they found out that their pension has been stolen because the actuaries didn't know how to predict, you know, increases in life expectancy and what have you. By the way, I have looked at a lot of pension plans for clients. I have yet to find one that's sound.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. I have yet to see one that's sound.
Wow.
So for all those people that are sitting out there, fat, dumb, and happy in their lazy boy right now, saying, oh, I don't have to worry about that. My pension's secure. I have a secure job. All that other stuff.
Yeah,
you know what?
That's right.
Here's something else for you. About 5 years ago, six years now, I thought I had a secure job, too, and I left it because I saw the tea leaves and the writing on the wall.
Right.
And guess what? I would have been gone.
Yeah, right. You called it right.
If I had stayed, I'd have been gone.
You know, I was speaking to this one guy, this was some time ago, and we were talking about, you know, what would you, you know, use as tradable commodities, you know, in case there's a economic disruption. And he says, oh, I have the ultimate tradable commodity. He says, that's the only thing I buy and I store. I said, what's that? He said, ammunition. I said, ammunition? He said, yeah. He says, 9mm, 38 special. He says, I got it all. He says, that's all I'll buy. And he says, just think for a second. If things go to hell in a handbasket, he said, people are going to revert to protecting themselves. If they protect themselves, they're going to need ammo. The first thing the government's going to do, first thing, they're going to shut down all the ammo companies. And he says, and I'm going to make an absolute fortune. And if I do, at least I can protect myself for a long period of time. But, you know, as crazy as that sounds, it makes sense. You know,
well,
it
you know
makes
what?
Sense.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, people are probably saying, ah, that'll never happen here because this is America.
That's right. Yeah,
Let's go over here to Greece. Now, I have some contacts in that general vicinity, and you know, they have a pretty good idea what's going on there. Let me tell you something. What you're seeing on the news, when they show the, you know, the Molotov cocktails and the tear gas, that's nothing compared to what's really going on over there.
Yeah.
Greece formerly was a first world nation, just like us.
That's right.
We're not talking about some third world country here where people are uneducated, you know, and all these other attributes that people would attribute to third world countries. That was, I should say, a first world country. This is human nature. When there's a disruption, people are going to protect their own, they're going to protect their families, and they're going to do whatever is necessary to accomplish that. That's the instinct that's built into us as human beings, to provide for our families. You know, and all these people who are sitting here and being ignorant willfully and saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this because I'll give you 100 reasons why my job will never go away, you're being malfeasant in your provision for your family.
Yeah.
If you're not at least considering this information.
Right.
You know, we don't know everything here. You know, I don't, and I know you'll admit, Joe, that you don't.
Oh, I don't.
But
believe me, I'm lost.
If you're going to sit there and plug yourself into CNBC and say, well, that's the gospel truth, that's the facts, I don't need to look any further. If you're doing that, you're doing yourself, your family, your country a huge disservice.
Well, even Bernanke's telling us now that things aren't all that good. It doesn't look like it's going to get any better, and it may very well get worse. Even Bernanke is saying that now.
Well, you know what? Don't forget, he was the guy back in 2009 who said this was going to be a jobless recovery. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I love that term.
He came out right at the beginning and said this is going to be a jobless recovery, and that's exactly what it's been. Hey, right. Joe, did you know, you're going to love this, that over the last 3 months, there have been more people added to Social Security disability insurance that have entered the workforce than taken jobs.
God, oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh
my I got God. An article on my blog. People want to go there, hit the website, hit the blog link. You can there's an article here. You can see some little graphs and all this little stuff here. I'll actually read it to you. Net jobs created in the last 3 months, and this is the BLS's number, so this is probably way too high anyway. Mm-hmm. 225,000 they're claiming to have added. 246,000 people have been added to the disability rolls.
Yeah. Folks, call us in. Come on. We need some phone calls. We'd like to answer some questions. 888-773-4496. We know you're out there. I always get emails saying, well, I didn't want to disturb Andy. He was so interesting. I know he's very interesting. We thank you very much.
Not
for
that
the
kind
conduct. But do call in. 888-773-4496. Please, we'd love to entertain anything that you have to say, even if it's a criticism. Even more so if it's a criticism. At least we'll learn something from one another. 888-773-4496. Of course, you can send your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And love to hear from you. Andy, the European Union, is that just going to hang in there? I mean, it seems like every week they're saying, well, it looks like this will happen and that'll happen, and then it turns and then it turns and then it turns again. What do you see there? And, of course, if the European Union sort of dismantles itself, how would that affect us?
Well, I mean, basically, as far as the European Union goes, we've had, something like 19 or 20 emergency meetings in the last 2.5 years, and this crisis has been solved, I've lost count, it's over a dozen times. I think 14, maybe 15 times they've declared this crisis to be solved because we came out with this Euro Stabilization Fund and yada, 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 and the IMF and the U.S. Fed and ECB did a dollar-euro swap, and well, that provided liquidity and blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line here is what we have going on in the European Union, by and large, and Germany is one notable exception to this, we have a social problem going on over there. We have, we meaning they and us, we have all embarked on trying to provide a social safety net support system, nanny state, welfare state,
right,
whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
where people put in a minimum amount of input and get maximum benefit. And these systems are not sustainable in the long run. I mean, yeah, you can shuck and jive people and do all this kind of stuff in the short run and kind of kick this thing along. And that's really what's been going on for about the last 41 years, especially here since we went off the gold standard. But as far as the euro goes, they've solved nothing. Yeah, they've imposed austerity measures on different countries, and Spain raised its sales tax to 21%. Yeah, that's really going to work. Let's raise now. Imagine what happened here. You know, most of our states are 6, 7, some are 8%. Depends on where you live. You know, that's the sales tax. Let's make that 21%, and see how much discretionary spending people do. let's see how many big screen TVs, Jaguars, and granite countertops people buy with a 21% sales tax.
Right. Right.
That's going to slow their economy down over in Spain, and they're going to have less revenue. We've proven that. I mean, it's been proven time and time again.
Well, they have 50%
if they wanted
unemployment
to get more
now.
Revenue, they would lower taxes, but they're too stupid, they're too ignorant, or they're just working off some plan. But at any rate, until you address the underlying mentality over there and here that you can't have a welfare state, guess what? Joe Cristiano, Andy Sutton, we are both responsible for earning our daily bread, right? You've got to provide for yourself, don't you?
No, not really. Actually, I never earned anything because, You see, the president
The
president
That
it, really, I didn't achieve it. If it wasn't for everyone else, you see, I mean, the people who built the roads are part of that. I mean, I would never have gotten to my car. And of course, the people who built the car, you know, they are responsible also for my starting a business. So, Andy, that's a fallacy. You understand that?
What did I serve you one right up the middle, didn't I?
Oh my God! You know, on Saturday night I have a broadcast on 1170 KFAQ, and I'm going to hit that from a totally. I'm not going to give away my cards now. I'm going to tackle that from a totally different perspective, and I'm afraid they're going to get the guards in the station that they have, you know, protecting, you know, people don't break in. You know, they're going to carry me out. You know, as it is now, I'm a maniac over there. And
you know what? If they carry you out, Joe, you just give me a call. I'll come and pick you up.
Okay. That's
the truth. But seriously, you know, you and I, and I'm not, you know, extolling, you know, us or anything like that. But for the majority of people, we've got to go out. We've got to expend labor, capital, scarce resources in an attempt to provide for ourselves and our families. You've got a group of people in this world that think the government should be the provider. You know, like kind of like the baby comes out of the mother's womb, and then it's dependent on the mother for a certain period of time, and eventually goes off on its own, right?
Right.
Well, the government wants to make sure that you have this cradle to grave, you know, nannying by the government. Of course, if you want to do that, then you have to give the government more power and more taxes and all of these other types of things. We're on a Teflon slope right now. It's not even slippery. We got Teflon in this. With the way things are going in this country, I mean, the government is just grabbing more and more power, and I know we're totally off economics, but this all comes back to it because it all applies.
Yeah,
they want to
right.
run every facet of this economy, and they want to do the same thing in Europe. Now you've got, you know, Greece has basically enslaved themselves to the IMF and the ECB for God knows how many generations with these austerity and the bailouts and all that stuff. All that is indentured servitude. This is neo-feudalism, what right. you've got going on here in Europe. They are taking Europe one nation state at a time.
Right, right.
And yep. guess what? If anybody thinks we're immune, don't forget where we get our money from.
That's right.
The U.S. Treasury does not issue our money. A private bank, just like over in Europe,
right.
think of our 50 states the same way you'd think of the nations of the Eurozone.
Yeah.
They are all dependent on the ECB. Guess what? We are all dependent on the Federal Reserve.
Right.
They do not give one rip about our economy, our jobs. Bernanke said it. This is going to be a jobless recovery.
Right. You know,
said it. He should have been walked out of that hearing in handcuffs, because one of their two mandates is maximum employment.
Right. But first of all,
you know,
how can you have a jobless recovery?
And as illegal as the Federal Reserve is, their mandates are price stability and maximum employment. And when he comes out and says, this might be a jobless recovery, he said, no, this will be
right.
a jobless
I
recovery.
That.
They should have said, you know what, here's the cuffs. You're going down to the D.C. Central Jail, and that's going to be it. And by the way, we want the records, too.
Right. Well, you know, it's amazing, and people bought
They're
that. And you
come
say,
and
well,
throw me out of here.
Well, you know, you say, fine, no one's employed, no one's working, no one has any money, and we've recovered. That's what I mean. It's all part of this. Nothing makes any more sense. And when you speak to people, they repeat what they hear. I mean, they've been
absolutely.
Conditioned. They no longer can think. And, you know, I spend so much time. I get one criticism on my commercial radio program. They say, aren't you going to talk specific? And I say, what for? I mean, why discuss specifics if we haven't learned to think first? I want us to think first. Then we can discuss specific. But why discuss jobless recoveries, for example, when no one even understands what that means, when people are accepting that as a truism and something that's going to happen and make us all well? We have to get back to basics and get to understand what's going on. We have to think critically. You know, I give this metaphor that I'm not from planet Earth. I'm from planet Zorg. And Zorg is a place where everyone thinks critically and speaks logically. But as soon as you speak illogically or think uncritically, what they do is they put you on a spaceship and you're off the planet. Right away, immediately, because you can contaminate the other people very quickly. And guess where they send them to? They send them to planet Earth.
They send them here.
Yeah, here. And you see, planet Earth is the insane asylum for planet Zorg. I have even T-shirts that says, you know, Zorg rules, Zorgology, you know. And I wear them, and they film these things. You go on the website, you'll see me wear these stupid T-shirts. You know, but it's nuts. It's nuts. The whole stupid thing is nuts. And I walk around, I get so mad. I go, you know, I walk around angry all day long, it seems. I don't know.
Go on, I'm not the only one. Hey, you know, let me tell you something. We've had, you know, I've been blogging and writing and doing this for over a half dozen years now. And the number of people that have kind of woken up, if you will, I mean, I know that's an overused cliche, but we'll use it anyway. The number of people that have woken up in the last 6 years has been amazing.
Right, I agree.
You know, and I'm thankful to you and people who do what you do and allow people like me to get on and talk to groups of people about these issues in the hopes that we'll stir some critical thinking in them. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't know what the percentages are, but there is a trainload of people in this country, and it's not even that they don't know what they don't know, they don't want to know.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, that, you know, they're dumber than a bucket of hammers,
right,
for not wanting to at least know. What, I think these people have kids, they have grandchildren in some cases. You know, if you don't even care about yourself, what about some
right,
you know, good old due diligence for the next generation?
Right. Yeah. Whenever I speak to young people, I get to do that pretty often. You know, I tell them, I said, I can't imagine being in your shoes. I just can't, because just think of the debt that you have to pay off. I said, if each one of you made a phenomenal salary, I mean, beyond your wildest imagination, you're not going to make it. I said, just think of that. There's not one person in this room is going to make it. And they're astounded by that. I said, well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that when you say, oh, I'm making $250,000 a year and the currency isn't worth anything and neither could you get to it? I said, just think about that. And then when the government wants to implant a chip in your under your skin, you say, no, thank you. They say, fine, you can't get access to your money. You can't get access to health care. You know, in fact, you're a belligerent, and now we have to put you in an internment camp.
This is the kind of stuff I'm afraid of with this health care thing, and I hate to beat that as a dead horse. And I'm going to add that I have no... theocracy or with theology considering politics. As far as my opinion goes, the entire establishment, Democrat, Republican, what have you, the whole establishment, I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for the whole bunch.
Oh, no, I agree.
You know, but these types of economic controls, if you will, they really scare me just for the reasons that you just said. Because it's once you have that camel's nose under the tent, it gets so much easier to get people to say, well, you know, what does it really matter if the IRS has access to my bank account? I don't have to worry about, you know, saving the money to pay for my health care penalty or whatever they're going to call it. They'll just take it from me, and I don't have to be distracted. It's
right.
Just so much more convenient. And you hear this all the time. This is why people love credit cards, and this is why banks love credit cards.
Right.
Because, and there's been studies done on this, people who carry cash around spend a lot less money foolishly
absolutely.
Than people who carry credit cards.
Andy, can I interrupt? We have a caller on the line. We're running out of time. Let's see if we can...
Sure, go right ahead.
Let's see. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Joe. This is Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, Joe, I haven't heard from you in such a long time. How you been?
Nah, I've been fine. I've been thinking the same thing about you when I came across your site. I haven't been here for a while. I guess I haven't been surfing at this particular time.
Okay.
So
well,
how have you been?
Well, I'm falling apart, but I'm doing well.
We're falling apart, huh?
Yeah, right. Joe, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I saw your description, so I'd like to find out the answer, and I'm sure that you guys probably provided it before I got here. But why aren't we all rich? Andy?
why aren't we all rich?
Yeah, Andy, yeah. I want my money.
Well, here's the thing. You know, starting back in 2008, we had a number of situations coalesce. We had the explosion, if you will, of the housing bubble, and we had a financial crisis, which was triggered by a number of events, the least of which was the housing bubble, and that's not what you'll hear on conventional media. But at any rate, the banks, the government, the Federal Reserve all decided together, and don't forget that there's 12 major owners of the Federal Reserve, and they are money center banks. So the Fed did their bidding. I mean, it's kind of makes sense when you think about it. But at any rate, they decided to commit trillions of dollars to bailing out banks. And that's why we're not rich, because the banks got the money. They'll lend it out to you. And Joe said he got a credit card, or his wife got one for a discount, and the rate was 24%. That's why we're not rich, because they...
Weren't rich before the bailout.
No, we're certainly not rich now, because now we owe debt on all of that.
People owed debt before. You know, Volcker was printing up money, and certainly Greenspan was printing up money, and the Community Reinvestment Act came in, and people were borrowing like crazy. That's part of the reasons why we had the credit crunch and the mortgage crisis in 2007 and 8, and it's continuing today. So other than that, and plus people are getting credit cards all the time. People who have not even gone bankrupt but still have bad credit, they're still getting credit card invitations in the mail.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why we're not rich.
Right. That's right.
Well, having credit doesn't make you rich.
Right.
No, I'm just answering your point. A person can have credit and either be broke or rich or...
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
But, I mean, all the superficial stuff aside, why aren't we as Americans rich?
Well, our jobs have been exported over the last 25 years, for one. Our dollar has lost 96% of its purchasing power over the last 99 years, and people might say, well, I wasn't alive 99 years ago, but you can go and figure out how much of that purchasing power has been lost in the last 25 years. You got that. You had basically this Madison Avenue glamour glitz marketing thing that started here and convinced people that it was okay to be in debt, and consumer debt's gone through the roof, corporate debt's gone through the roof. State, municipal, government debt, it's all gone through the roof. So that's why nobody's rich. You know, we lost our the best part of our wage base, really, when you look at it, to China, Indonesia, these other places. So that's, you know, when you stop producing, you cease to have the potential to become rich. Consuming does not make an economy rich.
Yeah. Well, you
producing
know, there's a, does. Yeah, and let me interject something here, Joe. There are two sort of views of being rich. There are those that make a good income, and those that are wealthy. What has happened to us is that we are making not bad incomes, but we no longer have any wealth. You see, our wealth has been drained from us. Now, you may be making more money. Of course, things are more expensive, but you are saving less, you are investing less, you own less, and what you own is of very little value. You may have an SUV that has a DVD player and, whatever, and it, costs $48,000. That's not wealth. That's a liability. We no longer have any concept of wealth. People have no wealth. In fact, there's comedians who actually talk about that. Chris Rock talks about wealth, and how, black people are not wealthy. But he makes a good point. Generally, across the board, black and white people today are not wealthy. Let me give you an example. We got to go real soon, but I went to the coin store the other day, and I buy silver coins for every one of my employees every month. Don't ask me why I do that. It's a long story, but I do it because I've always felt that people who have no wealth got to be the worst and bad employees. If people have a sense of wealth, they take care of themselves better, and that's my logic, and I've been doing it for about 9 years now. It's 12 years. And one young kid who worked for me now for about 9 years, who dirt poor, I mean dirt. When I say dirt poor, dirt poor white people, we had no floor
in
his house.
Oh, yeah, not even trailer park.
That's right. I mean, he had a house that was infested. I gave him a refrigerator, a small little a dorm refrigerator. He couldn't take it, he says, because his floor couldn't handle it. I mean, this is how poor he was. Well, I've been giving him a one silver coin every month for how many years now, you know. He has mega thousands of dollars worth of silver, you know, and he feels he's wealthy. He opened an account. He's investing now. He has a sense of wealth. Let me go back to the where I was. I'm in the coin store, right? And I'm buying these coins, and I'm looking down the aisle. Place is packed. And everyone in front of them has a little pile of gold jewelry and, you know, stuff like that. And I look on the other side, everyone has. I'm the only one buying. Everybody else is selling. What do you think people are doing? They're selling the last vintages of their wealth. Now, there was one old guy, older guy, older than me, believe it or not, in the corner. And what do you think that old guy was doing? He was buying. Yeah, he was buying. He was buying good stuff at a good price. At his age, a guy looked like he was like 75, 80 years old. And he's still accumulating wealth because that's what he's done all his life. And everybody else, who what was 30, 40 years younger than he was, everybody was taking whatever wealth they had left, Aunt Margaret's ring or whatever, the bracelet that they gave their wife, whatever it is, you know, sterling silver. They're putting it on the table, selling it. And I always ask, I said, why is everyone, are people buying? They go, selling? Are people buying? And I don't know the answer. They go, no, because they know me. They go, no, people are selling. And I go, why do you think they're selling? They say, paying the rent, you know. And this is the problem. We are no longer a wealthy nation. Not only are we in debt, but we no longer have wealth. It's amazing the amount of lack of wealth we have compared to the 1950s. That's what happened to the United States. And we did it because we went to the credit cards, we went to inflation, and we believed the government.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I agree. Believing the government and inflation, sure. Yeah.
Well, Joe, we're just about out of time, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, it's great. Do you have one of our Liberty Talk Radio T-shirts, Joe?
No, I sure don't.
All right. Listen, you send me an email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Provide me with a mailing address and a T-shirt size, and I'll get one out to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much
for
calling.
All right. I'll come back another time.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Please do. Thank you.
Take care, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Andy, about our time is up. I want to thank you so much for being our guest this evening. It's been a quick hour. We covered a lot of ground, and although we didn't get as many call-ins as I really would like for this program, and it just, I don't know why people don't call in, you know, I'm sure people out there are learning, because I get, after the fact, I always get comments that always please me about your program. And in fact, I heard someone that when I was on the on commercial air had mentioned to me that they said, "Oh yes, and I'm going to make sure we." Oh yeah, they asked me. They said, "Will Andy?" Shocked me. They said, "And will Andy be on next Wednesday?" I said,
"That's
absolutely." Yeah, that was great to hear. So I know we're getting through to people, and I appreciate so much you taking your time out to be a guest on our program on the third Wednesday of every month. And I hope you will accept our invitation to return.
Absolutely. Joe, it's always a pleasure being here. This is a great forum for getting some of these issues out there. And I really think we ought to continue with this whole concept of wealth next month, unless other circumstances overrule us.
Right, okay.
Because it's an interesting concept, and he made some good points, and I think we really ought to dig further into that.
Yeah. Also, I want to mention, and this is probably not for public forum, but we are expanding. Our plans are to expand Liberty Talk Radio beyond what we have now, and I will keep you appraised of that, and I would love for you to be part of this whole thing that we're doing as well.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Okay. All right, Andy. Thank you so much, and you take care. I'll be speaking to you again.
All right, Joe. You have a good night now. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, you know, isn't that great? Andy Sutton is just absolutely, absolutely super terrific. And what could I tell you? You know, he knows his stuff. And let's see, where am I? Boop, doop, doop. There we go. And this is the end of tonight's program. And folks, I really encourage everyone, please call in, write in. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Listen, I have a precept, and it's this. I said, you know, there's no partisanship, no profanity, no non-sectarian, respectful of all opinions, I don't make anyone wrong. I determine the underlying cause. I criticize the policy, not the individual. I discuss the concept, not the issue. And I try to separate myself from the problem and at the same time have lots of fun. I'd like you to be part of that. Please. Okay? This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, folks, there is no middle ground. Freedom is like riding a motorcycle, you know. With freedom, you feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels. They control the ride in your every move. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, you know, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.